Hello, Mr. DeadlyLucky7 here, and I am going to be doing this stupid fucking drunken Twitter AMA that I decided to do. So I give you guys 2 hours to ask me anything you wanted, and I got a ton of responses, which is really cool. And here we go. Super drunk. Let's fucking do this. Linz asks, when are you going to watch the B-movie? Never. That's a very easy question to answer. Malele asks, what your phone number, baby? LMAO, just playing in less. Do you like chocolate candies? If so, what's your favorite brand? Other than me, LOL. My phone number, you already got, so don't worry about it. Chocolate candies, yes. I like the lint, like, I don't know, like the weird, like, ball ones are, like, filled with different fillings and stuff. Those are good. What's my favorite instrument? I would have to say the guitar. That comes from Paige. And Frankie asks, would you rather only... Sorry if you guys can hear weird noises in the background. That's my cat. Would I rather only ever be able to drink whiskey or only ever be able to drink a $7 Target wine? I feel like the $7 Target wine would be maybe a little more practical. Because if you're saying I can't ever drink water, like, then $7 Target wine is more practical. But if we're talking, like, for recreational purposes, then I would go with whiskey. Why not? Whiskey, like, there's a lot of variety to whiskey. You got Scotch is considered whiskey, Irish whiskey, Japanese whiskey. You've got, like, your bourbons, you know, your white whiskeys. You've got your wheat whiskeys. And so there's a lot of fun that you can have. And some of, actually, a lot of my favorite drinks are whiskey-based. So that's an easy one. What am I drinking currently? Actually, I need to open this. So currently, I think that clipped the microphone. Fuck. So I started off the night with a dirty martini, and I then drink a New Belgium Higher Plane IPA. And then I drank a, it's called an, brain fart. It's called an Archangel. It's Aperol, gin, and muddled cucumber. It's kind of like a light, it's got like a very like floral kind of flavor to it. It's a little bit fruity, it's a little bit floral, but it's a very, it's one of my favorite drinks. I really, really, really was craving a Negroni. If you guys don't know what those are, they're amazing. It's a Campari gin and sweet vermouth, but I didn't have any Campari, so some we can do. What is my favorite character from Circus of Sin? This is coming from Rondafan35. Oh god, that's so hard. I always really loved the fortune teller. I know that that was probably the least popular audio, but I really loved playing him. Like, he was just sort of an asshole, and he was really fun to write for and really fun to play and stuff like that. I think other than that, the magician was really fun to play. But I mean, Deadly, although the Ringmaster Deadly, he's the most natural. Like, that one just comes easy to me because I he's like basically a certain part of myself. So yeah, that's fun. I feel like I'm probably not as intoxicated as you guys wish I was. Be a lot more fun if I was really, really fucked up and just like rambling crazy shit, but we'll see. I still got, you know, a whole beer, and we're only on like number 7 or 8 of this. Rhonda Fun, also asks, the most craziest thing I've done, or what is the most craziest thing I want to do? Probably the craziest thing I've done. would be fooling around in public, like once on a plane, once in a church, like just kind of groping and fingering and stuff like that. I don't know. Like, I guess if it's sexually, that's probably the answer to it is that stuff right there. Also, I've had a lot of like car sex, in public. But yeah, that would probably be my top one, is either in church or in a plane. Unky the cynical cunt asks a simple question. Favorite sex position? If I can't choose, name the top three. And remember to drink water. How sweet. My favorite sex position is probably missionary or doggy. I really like a lot of like heavy eye contact, and being able to like kiss and bite and all that kind of stuff. And so missionary is definitely high on the totem pole. It's like, you know, you get access to 90% of the goodies in that scenario. So it's a lot of fun. You can also, you know, depending on the way that the legs are angled and stuff, you can sort of get some really deep penetration or not so deep penetration, depending on what your partner likes and what you like. So that's a nice one. But then doggy, because, you know, everybody likes that, like, fucking just wild and crazy, go ham kind of fucking, every once in a while. Ray asks, how did the Circus of Sin project come together, and how did the idea come to fruition? They love hearing about behind the scenes working that went into things. So the Circus of Sin was the brainchild of a friend of mine and myself. Basically, I had this idea where I wanted to do like an audio with a ringmaster of a circus, and he gives you instructions on what to do to like play with yourself. And if you complete the instructions, then you get like a reward, and the reward was going to be an audio. And my friend, when I came to them with this idea, who is the amazing and wonderful U/Incelerate, she was like, okay, what if you had a bunch of different audios and each one was a different tent in the circus, and each one was like a different, you know, character of a circus? And I was like, that's amazing. So we started just like, I think she was high and I was drunk, and we were just kind of going off on crazy tangents about what would be cool. And we came up with like a half dozen or more characters that would be really cool, and like different scenarios of like what they would be. And so a lot of those characters became what they were going to be at that moment. Like the fortune teller was essentially decided at that point. Like I didn't know exactly what it was going to be, but generally that was what it was going to be. And so it was just kind of like a drunken night hanging out with a friend. And for about, I think that happened maybe in June or July. And so for about 2 or 3 months, like every time that her and I were on like a VC together or something, we'd be like, oh man, we need to work on that project. That'd be so cool. We need to work on that project so badly. And like, we just never did. And then about 2 weeks prior to Halloween, I was like, oh shit, I gotta work on that project. And she was a little bit indisposed, and so I sort of took the reins on it and wrote all of the majority of the scripts. I had some other people come in and sort of help me with them. So like Incelerate did some editing and some, gave me some suggestions on some things and also helped with some creative direction. And then I had the amazing U/Pure Rosemary who wrote the majority of the Lion Tamer scripts. And then of course the wonderful U/The Lady Layer who did the editing through the majority of the project. She was an editor and primary beta tester. And so she would kind of give me ideas. And actually, originally the Snake Charmer character that U/The Lady Layer played was going to be a male character, and it was going to be played obviously by me. And the snake itself, we didn't originally intend on it having a voice. And then at some point, Enzi had come up, and Celerate had come up with the idea of having a female snake charmer, and that the snake itself would have a voice as well. Oh, sorry, burps. Mm. And we kind of talked about it a little bit, and it was decided that Enzi was going to play the snake charmer. And we came up with this awesome idea for this, like, sort of Egyptian theme and all this kind of cool stuff. And then Enzi ended up not being able to do it. And so, like, last minute, the Lady Layer swooped in and picked up the part and did, like, an absolutely phenomenal job. And, like, at the time, it was, like, very, like, terrifying, because it was, like, I had, like, only a couple days to put out the audio. And, like, you know, the person who was basically supposed to be the main character of the audio kind of not been able to do it for things beyond their control. And, like, Lady swooped in and did an absolutely incredible job, like, better than I ever could have imagined. And now I can't imagine it not being her, which is just, she just fits the part so well. Man, I've rambled on about that project. But yeah, so that was kind of how the project came to sort of be. And it wasn't like, it didn't feel like it was an ambitious project when I started it. Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, I didn't think people would really care about it. Maybe, like, a few people. And I didn't really think that it would get the kind of attention that it did. But yeah, it was kind of cool to see that happen. Because I seriously had zero expectations for it. It was just kind of this weird idea that me and my friend came up with one night. And it ended up being something that I'm really proud of. So, yeah, moving on, because this ramble is already going on for quite a bit. Frankie asks, what's the Yu-Gi-Oh card that you will always try to fit into your deck every deck you make? The first one that comes to mind is Ordeal of a Traveler. If you guys don't play the game, or if you're not familiar with that card, it's a trap card. That essentially forces you to, every time you attack, you have to guess a card that's in your opponent's hand. It's like, is it a monster, a trap, or a magic card? And if they guess incorrectly, then the monster they attacked with gets sent back to their hand. So it's just sort of like a way to sort of throw a monkey wrench into their plans of, you know, attacking and stuff. And I like a lot of stuff like that. Like, in terms of playing strategy games like that, I don't necessarily play to win as much as I play to fuck up my opponent. Like, I play to fuck up their plans. So even if I lose, if I cause them as much turmoil as possible in the process, then I'm happy with it. Frankie also asks, bass guitar or piano, which would I rank the best to worst? That I'm a little bit unclear about that question in terms of, they said best or worst to play. But they all kind of have their advantages and disadvantages. I would say the bass is the easiest. It's the easiest to pick up and to get really proficient at if you put the time in. I'm not saying that bass is an easy instrument, but I'm saying it's the easiest to conceptually understand. And if you put the time into it, you can get really good at bass. In some sense, it's a lot. There's a lot of knowledge that goes into it and stuff, but it's mostly rhythm, right? Like, you know, you have to know notes and things like that, and positions, and your, you know, your knowledge of your fretboard and stuff like that, your scales and chord theory and all these different things. However, the primary thing, the most important thing of a bass player is the rhythm. And so, if you can land on beat, or if you can play whatever you need to play in terms of, like, syncopations or, you know, whatever, then you can be a really, really tight, proficient bass player. And so I feel like there's less to focus on with that instrument. in terms of playing, if you're asking, like, what's the best instrument to learn, like, what do I recommend you learn? I recommend you learn the piano, because the piano has It's very all-encompassing as an instrument. It teaches you melody, harmony, bass, you know, it teaches you all sorts of different chord theory and things like that. And so there's more that you can do with the piano than with any other instrument. It's the most versatile, I feel, which is why it's stuck around so long and why it's so important. You know, keep in mind that a lot of composers and stuff like that, you know, you're like Mozart's and Beethoven's and stuff. They compose their huge symphonic works on pianos, like, as in, like, you know, this is what this instrument should play, and you can play them on pianos, which is amazing. Like, the fact that a piano can play the same thing that an entire orchestra can play, pretty fucking cool. So that's what I would say is the most versatile instrument, but I like the guitar the best, because it's the one I've been playing for a really long time, and it's just, it's portable, it's practical, and I love the sound of it. It's my spirit animal. I hope you guys didn't hear that. I said it really under my breath, but, Frankie also asks, how is Louis doing? Is he still the bestest? If you guys don't know who Louis is, he is my cat. Yes, he is still the bestest. He's actually just kind of sitting off to the right of me, and he's just kind of staring at me right now. And now he's licking his paw. I don't think he really knows what's going on. He doesn't really know why I'm talking to him with a microphone. I think he kind of gets a little weirded out when I do this. He is still the bestest. I don't remember if I said that or not. Also, if you guys don't know, my cat is named after Louis Armstrong. It's a little bit of deadly lore right there. And then what is the function of a rubber duck? It's funny that you ask this, because I do actually have an answer for you. So the rubber duck actually started out as a chew toy for animals, and it was made of solid composite rubber. However, it didn't really take off as much, and it ended up becoming more popular among toddlers than it was among dogs. And so it ended up becoming a floaty toy for the bath. And the primary function of it, the reason that people keep rubber duckies for all sorts of reasons that are personal to them. But the intention for it, the purpose of it, is supposed to be to help develop cognitive skills within toddlers in the bathtub. So it's a way for them to play while they're getting bathed so that they can sort of develop cognitive skills, which is why they're like bright yellow and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's what Wikipedia says anyways. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? I really like the idea of being immortal. I didn't used to, but then I watched the show Misfits. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show. It's a British show. And it's actually, if you guys have seen the Umbrella Academy, the actor that plays Klaus? Is that his name? I don't know. But it's the same actor. And in Misfits, his name is Nathan. And he's just this sort of belligerent, like, asshole. And everybody else gets powers but him. And he's super frustrated, can't figure out what his powers are and stuff. And then at one point he dies and realizes, like, he's immortal. And the funny thing about that is that he always talks shit to anybody anyways. And so now people talk, he talks shit to people and they kill him. And then he just comes back and keeps talking shit. So I just really like that character dynamic and idea. So I think being immortal would be pretty cool. Obviously it would have some really difficult ramifications if you just lived forever and ever and ever. And like everything decayed around you, eventually it would get really lonely, but who knows, maybe you see some cool shit. Would sure make things feel a lot less impending and whatnot. Linz asks what music I've been listening to. Let us pull up my Spotify. So today I was listening to Foreign Affairs by Tom Waits, the remastered edition from 1977. I've also been listening to, in terms of Tom Waits, the album Nighthawks at the Diner. A really super good album. I've honestly, like, over the past couple weeks, I've probably listened to it like 30 times. I also listened to Prologue by the Milk Carton Kids quite a bit, and Aim and Ignite by Fun, which you guys should know already is a favorite album of mine. And then I've been listening to a lot of Aesop Rock. I've been listening to Spirit World Filled Guide, which just got released recently. And then I've been listening to a lot of Earth Gang, which not a lot of people know Earth Gang, but you really, really should go listen to them, because I feel like they're pretty fucking epic. Like, the diversity of the beats that they use, and just the actual lyrics themselves, the rapping and stuff, is just really amazing. I've been listening to the album Mirrorland, so that's my favorite so far. It's also got a feature with T-Pain, and if you guys know me, I fucking love T-Pain. So even better, right? But yeah, that's the majority of what I've been listening to. I've also been listening to a lot of Joe Pass, which the majority of you would probably not very much like, but Joe Pass is a phenomenal, phenomenal solo jazz guitarist. He's also done some stuff with, like, Ella Fitzgerald and stuff like that, but he is incredible. And I've actually been working on learning one of his songs recently, like his rendition of a song. Fucking, how do you pronounce your goddamn name? Ultra Violet? Okay, I'm just gonna say Ultraviolet. You know who you fucking are, LaKoya. Anyways, LaKoya asks, what programming tools do I use to create my music? I use Pro Tools, and that's it. Nothing fancy. I've just got, like, the basic Pro Tools suite. So everything that I do comes from there. In terms of performance-wise, like, I try to minimalize the amount of, MIDI instruments or whatever that I use in a lot of my stuff. Obviously, if it's, like, a string section and stuff, I don't really have a string quartet at my disposal, so I have to kind of make do. But if I can play, like, guitar, bass, or whatever, I can, you know, I like to make it work. I've actually been thinking about getting a drum kit recently, because it has been a very long time since I've played drums, but a lot of the drum samples and the, not drum samples, the electronic drum sets that are the MIDI presets in Pro Tools are just not really doing it for me, so I'm hoping to maybe get something soon. My favorite childhood memory, that's a difficult one. That one's... I forgot that question was on this list. Favorite childhood memory. The first one that comes to mind is probably whenever I was young, my sister and I used to go on summer vacations to my grandparents' farm, and it was, like, super rustic, like, no electricity, nothing. Water came out of a well, like, really, really old school. And it used to drive me crazy when I was that age, because it was like, man, like, I have to go a whole, like, 6 or 7 weeks without my fucking PlayStation. Like, I hated it. But looking back, like, I remember this one particular time, my sister and I, and then my two cousins went, and it was me, my sister, I had an older cousin, we'll call him Rick, and then I had another cousin, we'll call him Morty, who was a little bit younger, and kind of, like, I don't know, he was kind of like the annoying cousin, like the tag-along, you know what I mean? And because Morty and my sister were similar aged, they always used to kind of bicker back and forth about kind of who was the lowest on the totem pole. And I remember one time Morty was basically, like, saying my sister had to do what he said because she was a girl. And Morty was, like, deathly afraid of, like, reptiles. She was like, oh, you think so? And she picked up this dead lizard she had found, and she chased him around the fucking desert with it. Like, it was fucking hilarious. Oh my god. Just like watching her chase him and him screaming his fucking head off like a little bitch. It was amazing. It was pretty great. And he grew up to be like a Nazi, so it was even better looking back. Like sometimes when I think about a lot of these racist piece of shits that are like storming the Capitol and stuff, I think about that moment, about my like Nazi fucking piece of shit cousin who like is scared of fucking lizards, and I just fucking die. It's like, how do you take somebody seriously? They're scared of a fucking dead lizard. I'm sorry. You know, they're dangerous people, and you know, they're doing shitty stuff, but god, they're fucking pussies. I'm sorry. I am drunk. How do I like the phone mount? No comment. Okay. And the same person is wondering about the editing to this audio when it's finished answering all the questions. I'm not going to do any editing. I'm just going to... I'll probably do some compression to make sure that you guys can hear the quieter parts, if I do have quieter parts. And I will probably do some... maybe some EQ to eliminate like the fact that you can probably hear my roommate's taking a shower right now. But other than that, I probably won't do too much. What's my favorite Pokemon or magic trick? These are very, very different things, Plain. But that's why I love you. Because you're fucking weird. Okay, my favorite Pokemon would probably be Shedinja from generation whatever. He's he's a Pokemon that you get from evolving a, I don't know, whatever, into like a Ninjask or whatever. When you do, if you have an open slot in your party, then you get the Pokemon evolves and you get like the exoskeleton essentially as a separate Pokemon. It's a ghost type Pokemon. It's a bug ghost and it has 1 HP, but it is invulnerable to anything except for critical damage, like not critical damage, but super effective damage. So like if something tries to hit it with, say, a normal type move, it doesn't hit it. If it tries to hit it with like a fighting type move, it doesn't hit it, which is pretty cool. Honestly, it gets destroyed like quite a bit, but I just think it's really neat, and I totally have beaten the Elite Four with it. Shedinja is my answer to that. As far as magic tricks, I don't really know what they're called. Like, I mean, I love magic in terms of like performance and sleight of hand and stuff like that, but it really goes over my head, to be honest. I don't really know. Hydro Gently asks, what is my Hogwarts house? I think I would probably be a Gryffindor. I would like to be a Ravenclaw because I would like to think that I'm smarter than I am, but I'd probably just be a Gryffindor. I got a lot of heart and a lot of courage and nothing, not much else. Nicotine Cage or Pubjubs asks, what's my favorite flag? That one's easy, the Egyptian flag. Egypt is the alternative rock of flags. If you guys don't know Egyptian flag, it's probably the sexiest flag ever, honestly. We should just all wear Egyptian flags all the time. I don't know anything about Egypt's politics, but their flag is pretty fucking dope. Resident Madame asks, do you believe that time is linear or does everything happen all at once? I think that we experience it linear, sure. But whether or not that determines is it linear, I mean, that's just way fucking over my head. It's hard to look at from an outside perspective because we're inside of it, you know what I mean? I would say more than likely, time is probably not linear. It's probably a big bowl of timey-wimey stuff. But yeah, that's all the input that I have on that, honestly. Would I rather have finger-sized nipples or nipple-sized fingers? I like the sort of dichotomy of these two statements. You have one that's very, like, cerebral and intellectual, and then one that's very fart joke. But this one's easy. I would rather have finger-sized nipples. Because while finger-sized nipples will be inconvenient in a few circumstances in which you basically probably are insecure about presenting your finger-sized nipples to people, if you were really super bothered by it, you could have them surgically altered and it wouldn't be that invasive of a surgery. However, having nipple-sized fingers, not only would I not be able to play 90% of the instruments that I can play currently, but almost everything that I can do as a human being would be a task, would be like a complete, it would be so difficult. And so I would say I'd probably rather have finger-sized nipples. Okay, fucking Crunchy. If you guys don't know, Crunchy and I are pretty good friends. And we kind of nerd out about music together because we're both into like sort of similar veins of music. He asks, best guitar brand. This is really up to point of perspective and stuff like that. It really depends on the guitarist and all that kind of stuff. A lot of my heroes play Ibanez brand, but there are, I've played lots of what are they called? I have a friend who's super, super into Strandbergs, the headless guitars. There's also Kiesel, which are really good. I haven't had a chance to actually play them, but a lot of my heroes do play on Kiesels. In my own personal experience and opinion, the best guitars that I have ever played are Ibanez. That being said, the best price to quality ratio is Schecter, in my opinion. I currently play a 7-string Schecter Reaper 7. So yeah, it's it was, I think, like $1,000, and it really wasn't, I mean, it wasn't that bad price-wise, but the quality is amazing. And I've got a friend who has a... Oh, God, what is the model name? Fuck, you're going to make me look this up. Sorry, guys. Me just looking it up. Axion. He has an Ibanez Axion. It's got the Aurora Burst. So it's like a black finish with like... when you look at it in different lights, it changes different colors between like purple and green and blue and stuff. Really super pretty guitar. Amazing sound. The harmonics on are incredible. The intonation is just out of this world. Super fucking playable. It also, both of our guitars, they've got the slanted frets. So it's like multi-scale is what that means. So you can down-tune the lower strings and they don't lose their intonation and stuff, which is really cool. But he paid about $1,300 for his. And I paid a little bit more than $1,000. So you know, and our guitars are pretty, I would say, evenly matched. I would say his is a little bit better, but so I think Ibanez are the best, but if you're wanting like quality versus notoriety, I would say go Schecter over Ibanez personally, which is what I did. But it kind of depends. Like if you're talking acoustic guitars, they kind of vary. I really like Taylor guitars acoustically, over Martin. I had bad experiences with Martin guitars. But yeah, it's, if you're going with a classical guitar and you want the best guitar that you can get, you're probably going to go to a private luthier rather than like, getting a brand name necessarily that's like just made in a factory. But basically, the big thing is there are a handful of guitars that are made in the same factory, and that would be, I think it's, Schecter, Strandberg, I can't remember the rest of them, but they're all made in like Indonesia in like the same factory. And so any of those guitars, that are made in that same factory are supposed to be like really great quality. This is what a friend told me and what I've heard from working in the music industry. I don't know how accurate it really is, but I'm not as much of a gearhead. Anyways, that was a long rant, and what's our time at so far? Fuck, 36 minutes. All right. Chainsaw Angel asks, what's the audio you've done that you're most proud of? It's a boring question, but I like asking people that. That's a good question. Most proud of, I don't know. I think they all kind of have different challenges, and so I'm proud of them for different like reasons. So like the Circus of Sin finale obviously had a full-blown musical number, which was like a whole other element that I added to things that I hadn't quite done before. And so it was probably the most difficult to write and put together. But at the same time, I think there are definitely things like I think the Magician audio from Circus Sin Part 2 is the funniest by far. That one is fucking hilarious. I was like crying laughing when I wrote that thing, and I don't care if you guys agree with me or not, it's fucking funny. And the Wolfman, I think, to me was like the most elaborate, in terms of it had more elements to it. It was really difficult. So that one was really hard to do. There was a lot of editing that went into that one, mainly because of the different sound effects and the music and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to pick like a favorite or one that I'm most proud of. I'm pretty proud of the new one that Crunchy and Moral and I did, the Demon Boy audio. Mainly like just doing the music and stuff. Honestly, like everybody keeps complimenting the audio quality and stuff, but I really didn't do that much to it, to be honest. It was like some just chopping things up to put them in the right places, and then like background music and stuff like that, but and like little sound effects here and there. But Crunchy and Moral, like their performances were just good, and so it didn't really take me all that long to get it to sound good. So it's kind of more just credit to working with like great performers. And the binaural bit, like everybody freaks out about that part, but a little trade secret here. Let me turn up the gain so I can whisper it to you, because this is a trade secret. I don't want you guys to tell anybody, okay? The binaural section in the Demon Boy audio took me like 15 seconds to edit. I literally just panned myself to one side and Crunchy to the other, and then just put Moral in the middle. And that was it. There was nothing to it. It was like not that big of a deal. And so, sorry, but that's the part that most people are commenting about that I think is like impressive, and it's really super easy. the part that was the hardest of that audio was actually probably the car scene, honestly. Just getting everything sound effects wise and like banter and stuff like that lined up. The one thing that I did have the benefit of is Crunchy and Moral recorded their lines first, and so I had the ability to, if something didn't make sense or didn't work, I had the ability to use my character to make it make more sense, which was kind of cool. But yeah, so that's some behind the scenes with that. Dollface asks what's my favorite drink. That is kind of a toss-up between several, but the Sazerac and the Martini are two of my favorites. I also... Sazerac and Martini, we're just going to leave it at that. Favorite video game? Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, and I have not played 3. Dollface also asks, the audio I enjoyed doing the most and... Wait. Audio that you enjoy doing the most and why? And the audio that you dislike doing the most. The one that I enjoyed doing the most, I feel like I answered this question already. I think I enjoyed playing the Fortune Teller or the Magician the most. I mean, editing-wise, like... Sorry, bumping my microphone. Editing-wise, they all... like I said earlier, present different challenges. I can tell you that I fucking hated doing the Slumbering Sun Part 2 with the AI thing, having to do all those different robot voices and then like editing them together and putting machine noises in the background, and like there's not exactly like a sound bank for like pistoning penis sounds, and so I had to like go find those sounds or something that sounded similar to it. So I think like, if I remember correctly, the sound of like the penis pistoning in the audio is actually like the sound of a forklift, and I like edited it to sound how I wanted it to. But that was probably the one I disliked the most, in terms of liked the most. I don't know. I like most of it. Like I enjoy the process of most of it, of like, you know, getting in there and like creating this soundscape and like trying to create an experience, tell a story. In terms of most, it's so hard to pick a favorite. It's like trying to pick your favorite child. But I would probably say Fortune Teller or Magician, because they were the most fun to play, even if they weren't necessarily the most popular. MC Tats didn't really ask a question. They just said they were drunk, and we kind of had a back and forth banter, and I thought it was really cute. So yeah, shout out to MC Tats. And then Cake O, who is amazing, one of the amazing hosts of Nymphomercial, and she actually was in Slumbering Sun Part 2. She plays the voice in the beginning, mysterious voice in the beginning. So you guys should go check out Nymphomercial, the podcast. It's really amazing. I've been a listener for over a year now. It's been like a year and a half, I think. And actually I was featured on an episode of Nymphomercial, if you guys go back to November. So yeah, and Cake is super wonderful. She's super amazing. One of the things I appreciate the most about her is she is a really positive influence in terms of like a really positive representation of the furry community, because you don't see a whole lot of positive representations of them, and so I just think it's really sweet to see somebody that's just so positive and likable and lovable, that's out there just being a furry and just being like, hey yo, I'm a furry, but I'm like also other things, like yeah, Cake is great. But Cake wants to know what my fursona would be. Honestly, I feel like I'm probably like a... People always say bear because I'm like real big. But honestly, I think I'm like a cat or an owl or I don't know, maybe like a fox. I don't know, maybe a pit bull. I'm a pit bull. That's what I am. I'm a fucking pit bull. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't really have a fursona. I mean, I have many personalities. You just gotta, you know, I could be a lion or a tiger or a bear, or, you know, whatever. I could be a snake. Anyways, we're almost at the end of this thing. I would say, if I had to pick one, I would say cat. I feel like I probably relate most to a cat. I kind of really value, like, my independence, my alone time. Like, I like affection and things like that, but when it comes down to it, like, I really kind of need that alone time to sort of decompress and stuff like that. Okay. Nakoya asks, do you think you'll ever revisit Slumbering Sun? Oh god, I slurred so bad. Do I think I will ever revisit Slumbering Sun? So for a lot of you guys, I didn't really announce this publicly. I pretty much only did it on like my Discord server and on Patreon, because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it, but I am kind of like on a hiatus right now, and a lot of people did notice that I released two parts of Slumbering Sun and didn't release anything else. I just like definitely need a mental health break from audio content creation, and like I would like to revisit Slumbering Sun. But as of right now, all I could say is I don't know. The thought crosses my mind on a daily basis of like, am I gonna do this thing eventually? Am I gonna do another project? Am I gonna do anything whatsoever? And the answer to all of those questions is I just don't know. It would be really cool. Like, I had a story all planned out that I wanted to tell you guys that would have been amazing and all that kind of stuff, and I was really excited about it, but I think you know, personal stuff and mental health and all that kind of stuff kind of comes first. And yeah, so anyways, I don't want to get too much into that stuff, so we're going to skip to my favorite sock type. I like the little ankle socks. I mean, it kind of depends on what I'm wearing. Like, if I am going to, like, the ankle socks are the first thing I think of, because otherwise most of the time my pants legs cover my socks, so I don't really think about it. But if I'm going to the gym, ankle socks that have preferably some sort of like athletic fit to them that kind of maybe pad the soles and the heels, so that if I go running or something, maybe there's a little bit extra care or things. But the comfiest ones that I've found in both dress socks and for sportswear and stuff like that are actually Calvin Klein. I have a lot of like dress socks that are Calvin Klein. So yeah. Has my hair grown out some? This isn't gonna make sense to anybody that wasn't on my Discord server. I recently drunkenly let my brother cut my hair. It was long. It was about down to my shoulders, and I let him take some clippers to it, so it's like now like a buzz cut, pretty much. It's a little bit. It's about 3 or 4 inches on top, but. He did a really bad job of it, so it's like all uneven and like just disheveled. And I look like I'm like a apocalypse survivor. It's pretty bad. But you know, I've just been rocking a beanie. I don't give a shit. It happens. It'll grow back. Did I buzz it all the way off? And if I did, do you realize what that makes you? I don't realize what that makes me. And then she said, I know you hate to use lotion, but what brand of lotion do you typically buy? Jergens Ultra Healing, I think? I don't know. I feel like I remember one time asking somebody the question of like, what type of lotion should I buy? And it was like a cute girl, and she was like, Jergens Ultra Healing. And I was like, all right. And I've bought that same lotion ever since. So I don't know. I have a specific lotion for like my face and stuff like that, but like a daily moisturizer. But in terms of like my skin, I just use like fucking Jergens. I don't know. Ray asks, this is the last question. Wow, Ray gets the honor of being the last question. And we are almost at an hour, so let's see if I can finish this question in an hour. What is my favorite artwork that Barry has done for you? Oh, man. Honestly, there's a lot to choose from. God, it's so hard. Probably the Slumbering Sun poster that Barry did. Like, I don't know, it's just incredible. It's really, really amazing. Like, I really, really sincerely want to like just put it up on my wall. It's amazing, and I can't believe that like that they were able to get something like that out of like a description and a few reference photos that I sent them. And it's just like, I have the utmost respect for graphic designers and visual artists, and Barry's very, very talented, and I'm super thankful for all of the work that they did for me. And yeah, they're amazing. I also really liked, I don't think they posted them publicly, but there was a lot of stuff that they did of Nobu from Slumbering Sun, where they did like the face and stuff like that of Nobu, and I really liked a lot of that stuff. But they never posted it publicly. Also, Strawberry has a really great Instagram and stuff like that, which I don't think they've really promoted publicly, but you guys should definitely go check out their other stuff, and, you know, support them, because they're very talented and hardworking, and honestly, you know, the world needs more support for artists in general, not just VAs and not just musicians, but, you know, graphic designers and writers and things of all types and stuff like that. And so let's go out there and show them in love and support, especially one that's as sweet and kind-hearted and hardworking as Strawberry is. That's all the questions. Wow, that was a long AMA. I hope you guys are ready for this. And I hope you guys are not disappointed in how not quite as drunk as I should have been that I am. I don't know if that makes sense. Thank you guys so much for your questions, and thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this. All right, bye.